top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good afternoon. It is time for the afternoon news for today, Friday, April 26, 2024.
Top of the hour news.
I am Richie Farrell in the headlines. Financial economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine reiterated his commitment to help UWP candidates and members win public office and ensuring that their actions align with the best interests of Dominicans. St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Dr. Terence Drew addressed the urgency of tackling firearm violence as a public health crisis at the 68th Annual Health Research Conference in St. Lucia. And recently, retired President of the International Court of Justice, ICJ, Ms. Joan Donoghue, spoke to BBC Heart Talk host Stephen Sakura about the case of genocide brought to the ICJ by South Africa against Israel. The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited.
Q, top of the hour news.
More details coming up.
When it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and...
Attention to the moon, Courts. Yatsil, April 26th, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. April 27th, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Courts, warehousing for Kone. Mama Mia Unten Vieme Seminar. Sale on furniture, major whites, hardware, decor, and more. Everything must go. Tout bagay oblige.
Welcome back. Here's what's making news. During the Workers' Voice program on Thursday, 25th April 2024, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, leader of the United Workers' Party, reiterated his steadfast commitment to supporting the party and its members in their journey to attain public office, emphasizing that their efforts will be in the best interest of the Dominican people. He affirmed that under his leadership, the United Workers' Party will maintain respect for individuals from all political backgrounds and affiliations. Dr. Fontaine emphasized the significance of fostering a culture of mutual respect and understanding, expressing his disapproval of intolerance among political entities.
You know, so this thing that people feel that, you know, you have to deal with, you know, persons who don't support the party in one way. No. My sense, and I'll make it very clear, as long as I'm the leader of this United Workers' Party, we'll continue to respect everybody from every single party. We believe that we're all Dominicans, and we believe at the end of the day that whatever we are working is for Dominicans. You know, I am in this, and I'll make it very clear, I'm in this to support the United Workers Party to get to office with the rest of the team. But at the end of the day, whatever work we do is for the interest of Dominica. And Dominica is made up of Dominicans of all stripes, of all faiths, of all beliefs, of all persuasions. And, you know, I find sometimes we can be a little bit intolerant of others. And quite frankly, that's not how I see my role. I see my role as being able to create a space where every Dominican can contribute to the development of the country. And that is my driving philosophy. That is what drives me. That's what drives my passion for the work that we are doing. It's not about partisan politics. That has never worked anywhere. You know, that has just created divisions and schisms, caused friends to hate each other, neighbor to hate each other. I'm not in that space, all right? And people have to be very clear about this.
Dr. Thompson Fontaine has voiced his belief that the current division among the people of Dominica, considering its small size, is concerning. He emphasized the need for unity in order for individuals to progress, expressing worry for people with no experience working under the Dominica Labour Party administration.
So all of these new voice notes going around does not bother me one bit. You know, I firmly believe that we are too small a country to be divided the way we are. And we certainly need to really move forward as one. Having said that, I've always been concerned, and what drives my philosophy as well, is the welfare of the workers, all right, the welfare of the members of our party. That is one of the things that when I became party leader, I was very much concerned about the way our members have been treated. A number of our party members have not worked under this regime. A number of them have been discriminated against. They have been denied promotions. A number of them just cannot get jobs, you know, because of their political dissuasion. And I know that there were scores and scores, hundreds and hundreds of United Workers Party supporters who have suffered at the hands of this regime. There's no question about it. We know them. We're aware of those individuals. And it's for these individuals that we are fighting. And even while as a party in opposition, what moves me equally is to look out for the welfare of the members of the United Workers Party.
Leader of the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, manager of Generation Honey, Macris Moransi, takes Dominica by storm. The entrepreneur says he was just seeking to change careers and go into livestock farming. During his research, he found an interest in rearing honeybees, and it seems to have been the right call. Mr. Moransi says the honey produced is 100% organic and 100% healthy.
It was like a niche market, not too much individuals was in that business. So I got a liking to it. It's a unique product, only bees can produce it. And it cannot spoil like other products on the shelf, you'd find. It's very healthy.
Manager of Generation Honey, Macris Moransi. Kevin A. Francis, chair of the 65th Anniversary Committee for JCI Dominica, is encouraging young persons to get in touch with the Junior Chamber International and become a member. Mr. Francis says opportunities exist for young persons to develop effective social and career skills, which will ensure they make a productive contribution to the advancement of Dominican society.
There's several unofficial channels. And when I say unofficial, I mean when you see us everywhere, because we have a list of activities that we've been doing. We've been doing community service. We've been doing beach cleanups. We've been doing Read With Me program, which is, I'm not too sure if Madam President mentioned it, but the Read With Me program being, you know, one of our flagship events where we get into the schools to speak to some of the younger kids and read stories to them and get them excited about literacy and learning. And, you know, those unofficial channels to me is some of the best ways that we've been able to recruit some of these people. Some of these younger persons, the same age group we're talking about, up to 40. We've been able to do several different car washes, and you'll be surprised the amount of people who, you know, you step up to you and it's like, hey, what are you all doing? Like, what is this group? You know, how can I engage? What's going on? So I think just as much as, you know, we have these programs like our recruitment committee and all these other recruitment tasks that we have, I think our biggest marketing tool is really being out into the public and meeting people where they are.
Kevin A. Francis, the chair of the 65th Anniversary Committee for JCI Dominica. The Commonwealth marks its 75th anniversary today, highlighting decades of unity and advancement. Originally comprised of 8 nations and now expanded to 56, the Commonwealth spans 5 continents, representing a substantial portion of the world's population. Miss Patricia Scotland, Secretary General of the Commonwealth, emphasized the collective strength amidst global challenges. She underscored the importance of reflecting on the Commonwealth's legacy, enduring values, and ongoing dedication to promoting democracy, development, and peace worldwide as the organization celebrates this significant milestone.
So many years ago, with just 8 independent new republics joining the old Commonwealth. But look at where we are today. 56 countries, more than 2.6 billion people, 60% of whom are under the age of 30. And we have faced so much as a family over the last 75 years. And now we face the challenge of climate change, of the technological explosion, the issues that we have on trade, on young people, on women. And yet we know that we are more than equal to these challenges. The Commonwealth has demonstrated for 75 years now, we can do this, and together we can.
And that was the Secretary General of the Commonwealth Nations, Ms. Patricia Scotland. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Q95 News has been reliably informed that an employee of the Ministry of Education by the name of Raymond Henderson was allegedly found hanging from the second floor of his home earlier this morning. Police suspect it may be a suicide case. However, investigations into the cause of Henderson's death are ongoing. Q95 News will bring you more information on this as soon as it becomes available from official sources. New evidence from the World Health Organization, WHO, shows the extensive overuse of antibiotics during the COVID-19 pandemic worldwide, which may have exacerbated silent spread of the antimicrobial resistance, AMR. While only 8% of hospitalized patients with COVID-19 had bacterial co-infections requiring antibiotics, 3 out of 4, or some 75% of patients have been treated with antibiotics just in case they help. Antibiotic use ranged from 33% for patients in the Western Pacific region to 83% in the Eastern, Mediterranean, and the African regions. Between 2020 and 2022, prescriptions decreased over time in Europe and the Americas, while they increased in Africa. Highest rate of antibiotic use was seen among patients with severe or critical COVID-19, with a global average of 81%. In mild or moderate cases, there was a considerable variation across regions, with the highest use in the African region being 79%. WHO classifies antibiotics as per AWARE, that's Access Watch Reserve classification, according to the risk of AMR. Concerningly, the study found that watch antibiotics with higher resistance potential were most frequently prescribed globally. Open quote. When a patient requires antibiotics, the benefits often outweigh the risks associated with side effects or antibiotic resistance. However, when they are unnecessary, they offer no benefit while posing risks, and their use contributes to the emergence and spread of antimicrobial resistance, end quote, said Dr. Sylvia Bertagnolo, WHO unit head for surveillance, evidence, and laboratory strengthening in the division for AMR. In more news, during the official launch of the STEM Girls Club yesterday morning, Kasani Laville, the parliamentary representative of the Maho constituency, announced that the newly established Science, Technology, Engineering and Mathematics Girls Club aims to empower young girls to explore and excel in STEM careers. Laville emphasized that the club will offer engaging activities to facilitate learning and interaction in these fields. He expressed his hope for the club's expansion beyond the Maho constituency.
STEM Girls Club aims to provide young girls with the opportunity to explore and excel in STEM careers through engaging club activities and educational experiences. By bridging the gap and eliminating barriers that hinder gender equality in STEM fields, we strive to create a more inclusive and diverse future for all of you. I am honored to have collaborated with Dr. Jermaine Jean-Pierre, Ms. Melissa Graham, and Mrs. Nicole Laville in establishing the STEM Girls Club and organizing enriching STEM-related activities for the girls in our community. Together, we have planned informative field trips and hands-on projects to ignite the girls' passion for STEM. As we inaugurate the STEM Girls Club today, we envision expanding this initiative beyond just our Maho constituency and raise the awareness about the importance of encouraging our girls to pursue various STEM fields. This is a unique opportunity for young girls to unlock their potential, to broaden their horizons, and contribute to the ever-evolving world of science and technology.
And that was Kasani Laville, Minister of Health and the Parliamentary Representative of the Mahu constituency. Dr. Thompson Fontaine, leader of the United Workers' Party, assures residents that the Dominica Economic Revival Summit is not to be perceived as a political event, despite its organization by the United Workers' Party and civil society organizations and other members of the Electoral Reform Coalition. He emphasized that the state of Dominica's economy concerns everyone, as its performance affects all citizens. Dr. Fontaine stressed that while diverse perspectives may exist, the summit should not be labeled as political.
So, you know, while this is being organized by the United Workers Party and the Electoral Reform Coalition, it should not be viewed necessarily as a political thing. I believe you'll all agree with me that the economy is everybody's business. If our economy is prosperous and making money for everybody is happy and satisfied. If it is failing, it impacts every single person. So I do not want us to think that it is because we may be of a different political persuasion that should be an excuse not to participate. We welcome the participation by every single Dominican who has a contribution to make. We are planning for the future of our country. We are planning for a future that is sustainable, because as all of you are well aware, we are in the very final stages, it would seem, with regards to our CBI revenues. And now is the time for us to plan very seriously on the way forward. So again, the conference is on the 4th to the 6th. Our awards dinner will be having a small fee of just $250 for the dinner, but the conference itself will be free of charge for those who are willing and those who will be participating.
Dr. Fontaine emphasized that he aims to ensure that the summit is not merely a discussion forum. He highlighted the importance of strategic planning as the cornerstone of any viable initiatives that are sustainable.
Let me also add, and I'm sure that I want to address this concern even before I hand over to the representative from the ARC. I also want to stress that this is not just a talk shop. It is not just talking, but I think it is very important for us to plan, because you'll all agree that when you fail to plan, that is a guarantee of failure. And so we will be planning, we'll be taking those plans seriously. As you know, we are well poised for political change in this country. So when that happens, we'll be well prepared to move forward seamlessly with those plans to make Dominica a better place and to really build this economy. I would also like to add that this particular economic forum will be the start, or will be the prelude, to another all-important forum, which will be an entrepreneurship forum, where we will focus on the hundreds, I believe, Dominicans who are already doing things, already producing, already manufacturing. They have small-scale industries. Some people are drying fish, and some people are making sauces. Some people are involved in the honey business. There are scores of these types of businesses that are operating right now on a very small scale. The idea would be to give them some exposure. The idea would be to explore avenues for them to be able to increase their sales regionally and also upscale their businesses. So that's a very important offshoot.
UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine. In other news, Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis Dr. Terence Drew delivered a compelling address during the 68th Annual Health Research Conference hosted by the Caribbean Public Health Agency, CARFA, in St. Lucia on April 25, 2024, highlighting the pressing need to address firearm violence as a critical public health issue in the Caribbean region. While there, Prime Minister Drew joined the Honorable Philip J. Pierre, Prime Minister of St. Lucia, as part of a panel discussion on violence in the Caribbean, a public health crisis. In his address, Prime Minister Drew underscored the devastating impact of firearm violence on Caribbean societies, emphasizing its role in fueling crime, exacerbating conflict, and undermining the rule of law. This is Q95 News. Joan Donoghue, who has just retired as president of the International Court of Justice, ICJ, spoke to BBC's Hard Talk's Stephen Sakur about the case brought by South Africa to the ICJ over alleged violations of genocide convention by Israel. Ms. Donoghue explained that the court decided the Palestinians had a plausible right to be protected from genocide and that South Africa had the right to present that claim in the court. She said that, contrary to some reporting, the court did not make or is not making a ruling on whether the claim of genocide was plausible, but it did emphasize in its order that there was a risk of irreparable harm to the Palestinian right to be protected from genocide.
You know, I'm glad I have a chance to address that, because the court's test for deciding whether to impose measures uses the idea of plausibility, but the test is the plausibility of the rights that are asserted by the applicant, in this case, South Africa. So the court decided that the Palestinians had a plausible right to be protected from genocide and that South Africa had the right to present that claim in the court. It then looked at the facts as well, but it did not decide, and this is something where I'm correcting what's often said in the media, it didn't decide that the claim of genocide was plausible. It did emphasize in the order that there was a risk of irreparable harm to the Palestinian right to be protected from genocide. But the shorthand that often appears, which is that there's a plausible case of genocide, isn't what the court decided.
And that was retired president of the International Court of Justice, Joan Donoghue. That's the midday news, or the afternoon news. Here's a recap of our headlines.
As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.
Financial economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine reiterated his commitment to help UWP candidates and members win public office and ensuring that their actions align with the best interests of Dominicans. St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Dr. Terence Drew addressed the urgency of tackling firearm violence as a public health crisis at the 68th Annual Health Research Conference in St. Lucia.
It happens.
And recently retired president of the International Court of Justice, Ms. Joan Donoghue, spoke to BBC Heart Talk host Stephen Sakur about the case of genocide brought to the ICJ by South Africa against Israel. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Richie Farrell. Stay tuned.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station. Q95.